In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We are beginning a new series. We're going to study together a real wonderful book, the Book of Proverbs. And I've titled this series, Getting Wise God's Way. I think Proverbs is one of those fascinating books that we just love to return to read over and over. And we love the pithy sayings. We love the proverbial insights. But most of us have never really studied this book in depth. I bet you can count on one hand the number of preachers or pastors who have preached through the whole book of Proverbs. And what we want to do in this series is go through verse by verse, unpacking God's wisdom that he has given through Solomon and other writers in the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is an amazing book, and it's filled with a lot of information. The first nine chapters are really narratives. It's got a more of a flow to it. Then once you leave chapter nine, it almost feels like here's a proverb, there's a proverb, everywhere is a proverb. And when we get to chapter 10, we're going to organize the Proverbs a little bit differently and how we will work through the text. But for now, we're going to do these first nine chapters in a traditional verse by verse way. So let's begin with Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to look at the first seven verses. Let me read Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So let's take a look at this first three verses. Now, wisdom has three stages based on this passage. The first stage is knowing. Okay, this is the idea of discovering and getting information to influence the mind, the heart, and your affections. Wisdom. This is the knowledge from God. And remember, he is the source of all wisdom. In fact, it's an attribute of God. Listen to Job 9:4. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and prospered. Romans 6:27. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Proverbs 2:6 later tells us, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk uprightly. In James 1:5, you know this passage when you've been in trials. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him or her. But let him or her ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And I think this James 1, 5 through 8 verse is so critical, because as we begin this study in Proverbs, you're going to be given wisdom from above. But what will you do with that wisdom? Will you apply it eagerly, or will you be double-minded and say, well, I'll consider God's wisdom, but I'm going to consider my wisdom first. See, you're going to be given an opportunity in this study to really become wise in the things of life and the Lord. But the question is, are you willing to engage? Are you willing to submit to God's wisdom and live a life his way rather than your way? Like I said, the first stage is knowing, all right? And with this knowing, there has to be instruction. That's how you get the information that's outside of you, inside of you. This is wisdom gained from loving correction. In other words, when you sin, you fall short, when you err. It can also come from being rebuked because you're sinning. And it can also come from exhorting, where the idea is you're doing something right, but you could do it better. Excel still more, Paul would say. And as well as chastening and punishment by the world and the Lord. So again, it says to know wisdom and instruction. So what's going on here? God is saying through Solomon, hey, you need to know wisdom and instruction. You have to recognize that there is knowledge that God has to help you grow and be sanctified, to be a faithful follower to him. But this wisdom can come through God's word, but it can also come through other circumstances. And as I said, a loving correction because you're an heir. It can come from a strong rebuke because you're sinning. It can come from wisdom that says you're doing well, but you could do better. And let's recognize that God uses anything and everything at his disposal to chasten you, to grow you, to help you. And sometimes he will use the world as a hammer because you are out of line. You are in great sin and disobedience. And sometimes it can be a soft whisper, a gentle correction. Proverbs 3:11 describes it this way, my son, do not despise the chastening. This is the same word as instruction here of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Do you see God as a loving father? You may have had a horrible earthly father. You may have had a great godly father or somewhere in between. But do you see God as the perfect father? Because if you do, then everything he has for you is good. And so when he chastens you, when he corrects you, you must receive it with a perspective, God loves me and I got to change. 2 Timothy 4:2, which is a call to not only all of us individually, but particularly leadership in the church. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. There's those same ideas. With all long suffering and teaching, and that word long suffering is a beautiful word. The idea is this, is when you're provoked, you return with kindness. So think about this. As you're convincing, you're rebuking, you're exhorting others, or maybe someone is convincing you, rebuking you, exhorting you. How do you respond? Do you respond with submission and acknowledgement that you have to change? Because if you're going to correct someone and they don't respond well to it, you need to be long-suffering. You need to demonstrate with character, patience, and kindness as you correct individual. If you're a parent, this is what we do with our children. We don't like spanking. We don't like punishing. But if there's sin in the child's life, if we don't deal with it, they will become a problem. And the consequences later in life will be terrible. So as parents, we're long-suffering because we know how difficult it is to spank and chasten and punish, but it's necessary. All right, so stage one is this knowing, right? Discovering and getting the information so that you can begin to think differently and act differently. Stage two is to discern, because that's where the next verse goes, to discern the sayings of understanding. Now, the idea of discern is to comprehend, to apprehend, to separate and systematize the wisdom information that you gain and glean. It's having the ability to recognize God's wisdom and ways versus man's knowledge and practices. This is truth versus tradition. This is God's wisdom versus worldly wisdom. And this discernment is a skill that you need to develop. Let me ask you. Can you tell the difference between someone preaching God's word and not? Do you know the difference between tickling ears versus speaking to the heart? See, discernment is a byproduct of knowing God and knowing his word. That's why it's the second stage. See, if you aren't filling yourself up with the word of God, then it's impossible for you to discern. I mean, we understand this in any field of expertise. If I'm going to be a electrician, I have to first get informed on the laws of electronics. What's voltage and amperage and all these other things. With that information, I then have discernment to go in and maybe correct a broken circuit. Now, let's dig a little bit deeper on this. Part of discernment is seeing past the gray and understanding the stark difference between black and white. That's another way of looking at this. For example, discerning means I know the difference between good from evil. I know the difference. I discern the difference between right from wrong. I can discern the difference between honor and dishonor. And I understand and rightly interpret facts and or a situation. This is just some of the examples that discernment helps us. Because if you don't know these differences, you're going to have a problem. The question is, do you know the difference between good and evil? And the scriptures look at this concept in a positive light and a negative light. For example, in a positive light, 1 Kings 3:9, therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This is Solomon, isn't it? He's asking God for the kind of wisdom that he is going to need to rule and reign the people in a way that's pleasing to God and beneficial for the people in the kingdom. But then there's a negative difference. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22, for my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. This is the antithesis, the opposite, the extreme other end of what God wants for each of us. And so knowing the difference between good and evil positively, you have to know God. You have to know his word in order to make this distinction. But if you look at that negative example with Jeremiah, what had happened? They abandoned God. They abandoned his word. And instead of embracing good, they embraced evil and they called the evil good. That kind of ignorance, that lack of discernment is deadly. And there's only one solution. And that is, you have to know God's word. And that's why we're taking you on this journey of getting wise God's way with the book of Proverbs. Do you know the difference between behavior that is honorable or dishonorable? These are some of the questions. Let me just read 2 Timothy 2:20 and we'll wrap up here. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Jesus in John 8:49 says, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. As we wrap up our time together, do you discern what is behavior that is honorable or dishonorable? So this week, until we return again the book of Proverbs, consider your actions, weigh them out, filter them with God's word, and ask the question, am I walking wisely? Do I know the difference between right and wrong? Between that which is honorable to God and dishonorable. Until we meet again, may you grow in God's word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.